I wouldn't waste a second more. I know that's quite an ironic thing to say when you're contemplating time travel. If I could travel back in time tonight, I know exactly what I'd do. I would be standing on your doorstep, baby, singing these words, shouting into you, saying, stay with me. Oh, baby, won't you stay with me?
Sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you may happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be a million other places doing a million other things, but you decided to be here, and I appreciate it. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. We used to have kind of a saying, we got it from the Superman series, it's a bird, it's a plane, you know, no, it's Superman. Well, now it could be a bird, it could be a plane, it could be Superman, it could be a helicopter, it could be a UFO, but now we have to add to it drones. And people are beginning to call in to their local police stations, they're calling 911, and reporting that they see an unknown craft in the sky. And it's unknown to us, the public, because, of course, we never imagined that our government would use drones against us, but they do. And so, would you believe there's a whole new industry starting up now, consultants training 911 operators how to determine if what is being called in is a drone or something else. I found that to be pretty amazing. So now we're spending money to spy on us and spending money to train 911 operators how to determine if that is in fact us spying on us. Oh, man. The insanity just abounds, does it not? Whoops, I bet my phone just got tapped. But it probably has been for quite some time. Hi, guys. Glad you're tuned in tonight. Look, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Kevin Smith Show, we publish something called the K-Files, and it is a free newsletter, and it's a good one. And it's absolutely free, no strings attached, really, honest to God, free. If you're not getting it, you're why. And only you can fix it. And the only way to fix it is to get over to the website and subscribe. And then once you subscribe, you're going to get an email that has a link in it. And that link, you have to click it in order to activate your subscription. Be sure you do. Once in a while, I get an email from someone who says, I subscribe, but I never did get that email. Might have gone to your junk mail. And if you have it set up so that when you exit your email program, it gets rid of all the junk, you lost it. So be sure you check your bulk mail or junk mail, because sometimes, because of your server or because of the way you have it all set up, that's where it'll go. But it's got a link in it, and you have to click that in order to activate the subscription. If you don't do that, then you haven't actually subscribed. You haven't completed the subscription. Most people who do subscribe stay with us forever, and we'd like for you to be in that family as well. All right, we're going to step away for a break, and then when we come back, we'll be talking with Jerry Wills. All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com.
A million light years away from my home. A million light years away. A million light years away from my home. A million light years away.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Mr. Jerry Wills. He is the associate host of this show. He is also the executive producer at Expeditions TV and is, in fact, in the midst of an expedition in Peru right now. And he joins us tonight live from Peru. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be back, and hello to everyone out there who's listening.
Well, you know, we've got a weird thing happening with the video, and it's not at your end of the equation. We had it all set up, everything is fine, and I click, and now we've got two screens appearing in one. So, that's okay, that's cool. The video we're getting from you is just fine. But let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry is, in fact, in Peru. And what that means is that the connection may get a little dicey. And if it does, then we'll just reconnect with him. And we've already lost connection once this evening, but reconnected, so everything's cool. I think we've got that video situation fixed, so let's see. Yeah, there you are in all your glory. So, give us an update, Jerry, about this expedition, and you know, what have you been able to achieve, and what is yet to be achieved?
Wow, well, it's been quite a journey so far, Kevin. We came down here, it's all a blur, really. April 25th, Kathy's telling me, and it was just crazy. We had to get up very early to fly down here. Our plane was delayed for like 6 hours. We got in very late at night. Got in, had to repack our bags, you know, put things in proper place in each of the cargo bags so that they'd be right there handy for us when we needed. And we took off and we went to Tarapoto, which is a jungle city in the highlands of the Amazon jungle. We slept about 4 more hours and we're back up again at 2 a.m. and we're on our way to Tocachi. So for the first few days, it was very little sleep, a whole lot of traveling. And we made our way into this very dangerous area that is where our first stop was, in the Tocachi Valley. At that point, you know, we basically made our way quite a distance up into this valley, the Rio Tocachi Valley. And it's not like anything you've ever seen. We have videos, so you'll see it. And we went there to get video and to document something we've been telling folks about for a while called the Doomsday Stone. We made our way back. We got some extraordinary video. We got more of the story this time. And we have some fantastic information about that that we'll be releasing shortly after we get back. I can tell you something about it.
Well, I think, Jerry, we have just experienced a freeze on the audio. I don't know what happened.
Kathy's telling me I need to speak more slowly.
No, you're doing fine. You're doing just fine. But the connection is predictably weak.
Well, we are in Cajamarca. In another very remote place. We're fortunate we didn't have a connection yet. It probably is a bit dicey. It probably isn't as good as it should be for something like this.
But amazingly, the video quality is good.
Well, we positioned ourselves right next to a repeater so that we could tie into their repeater and do the show.
Cool.
You know, we brought all kinds of electronics with us to do this.
Uh-huh. Well,
I thought we would probably end up doing it with the sat phone.
You know, pardon me. You guys had a pretty busy day today. Why don't you tell us what happened today?
Well, today we went back to shoot part two of Cundamayo. For the folks who aren't familiar, you can go to expeditions.tv. That's the new site. So we went back to shoot part two, and got up there, and we started right where we left off. We got to the tunnels and tried to go through the tunnels, but the tunnels were flooded. I walked in about 3 feet, and I was already off my boots and water and mud, and I decided I wasn't going to walk, you know, the rest of the mile to mile of the tunnel. So instead, we shot around that, and it is still a very good video. It is very interesting material. From there, our goal was to get to the source, the origin of the water that fed the aqueducts of Cundamayo. And what we're talking about, folks, are aqueducts that are hewn into granite. And they're not just small things, they're very large things. Maybe a meter across, and in places, 10 meters deep. Just a big notch cut out of the mountain. It's to secure the water. It's all done very elaborately and ornately. There's a language there that no one has been able to who made this.
Okay, there's
a language. Yes.
There's a what there? You said there's something there that people are not allowed to go to. What did you say? There's what there? Can you hear me, Jerry? Well, I guess our audio to Jerry.
No, I'm really sorry. I'm not hearing, but every I can.
Yeah, the connection's pretty touch and go right now.
Yeah, well, the two-way connection's probably kind of sucking.
Okay, you said there's something where people are not allowed to go. What was it that you said? There's a, what?
No, it wasn't that they're not allowed to go. It's an area, you can go wherever you want to in this area. But we went to try to find the source of the water for Cundamayo.
Mm-hmm. And did you find it?
Well, we did, in a manner of speaking. We walked for miles, climbing up into the Andes higher and higher, through canyons and up the sides of mountains. And we got to a place where there was no evidence of the aqueducts. Past that point, we went well past and looked in. And it is, at that point, being fed by a whole litany of small streams that are feeding down into one large pool, and then it's emptying into the canal. Right next to the, not canal, but aqueduct, and right next to the aqueduct was a large ceremonial stone, a very large boulder that cut down in shape, and it was really quite fascinating. And it was at this place, so far as we could tell, that the water originates. But you see, we've been told by someone who's been here before, a very good friend, and we trust him completely. He's been here with some researchers, and they followed this back several miles, and they've gotten to a mountain, and the mountain had a cavity that had been actually cut like the aqueducts, and it went all the way through the mountain for 2 kilometers. It was a square hole, he said. We never saw this. Now, I don't know if we went to the wrong place, I don't know. I asked around, you know, some of the people who live there, and they didn't seem to know anything about it either. So we're going to go to the university tomorrow and talk to the archaeological department and see what we can find out from them. If we find out that there is indeed a place like this, we're going to try to get to it before we leave. So I guess we'll find more answers tomorrow.
A rectangular hole through a mountain, 2 kilometers. You know, how do you do that? How do they make that?
That's, you know, well, you know, and if it's true, if it's real, that's really the pressing question. If it is, we want to see it. And how would they do that? Well, how did they do the aqueducts as they are now anyway? They're just an extraordinary piece of art. You know, in a lot of sites, you see places where there's a stone and they've chiseled into the stone to make their symbols, their pictograms, but not on these stones. On these stones, they lifted the images off the stone. So it's
so
like
instead
lost outwards.
Yeah. Instead of it being indented into the stone, it's as though the rest of the stone was cut away to leave that image.
Yeah, and it's not rough hewn. It's beautiful. It's just as beautifully sculpted as anything you would see. Michelangelo's David, for example. I mean, it's done with that kind of exquisite care and precision. And that's the thing, you know, when we're looking at this, we don't see any evidence of mistakes whatsoever. There's not one place that we saw, and we walked for miles and miles there. And we'd been here 2 years ago and walked for many more miles that time, covering several miles. When we look at these aqueducts, there are no mistakes. There's not one. We haven't seen any mistakes yet. And another interesting fact about them is that the design, when you see the video, or if you take a look at the video that we have up right now, you'll see that it looks like a zigzag design where it goes, the thing is coming, the aqueduct's coming down, there's a zigzag design, it goes straight again, another zigzag design, and it goes straight again. Scientists have figured out, by measuring the depth and the width, that this was actually a pressure regulator built into the aqueduct system to maintain pressure. And as old as these are, there's no sign that we can see. And we're certainly not experts on this particular thing, but we didn't see any evidence that we had worn these corners away. There's, in other words, there's no turbulence being caused by the design of these zigzags that would eventually erode rock. But these stones are very hard, of course, and God only knows how old.
So who built this? I mean, is this the Incas, the Mayas? The Aztecs, the Toltecs, the Olmecs, who built this?
Well, you know, there's no way to tell. There's just really no way to tell. But I'll tell you this. You see the same type of architecture in the design in Kumbh Mayo as you see in places in the Middle East and other points in Europe. And that brings us to another story that we are trying to figure out. And we stumbled upon something really extraordinary. And I can't tell you a lot of details about this problem, but not because I don't know them, but because I just can't talk about it. But we have in the past few days been following some leads that suggests to us, more than suggests, it pretty well points very clearly that there are people who have been here so far back in history that it's mind-boggling. And we're talking back to the Trojan Wars, and perhaps even before that. But of course, you know, I mean, we believe that there was an advanced culture who lived here a long time ago, and that something happened to the Earth, and whatever it was, it took civilization down to its knees. And that is the fourth story that we're following. And we also have some very salient clues on this as well.
Do you think that these were built by that advanced civilization that pre-existed even the Trojan Wars? Or do you think these were built, these aqueducts were built in that period following the Trojan Wars?
Well, you know, it's all theory at this point. I don't know which direction in time it would be. I'm thinking it's probably Trojan Wars and maybe earlier. But, you know, the advanced technology that was used to do these aqueducts is really no different than the technology that was used to cut the stones of Volga. You know, the gigantic megalithic stones, and one of them still just lying there, you know? There was some level of understanding many ages ago on how to do something like this and do it with precision and ease. That knowledge has been lost, or else, you know, it's been so cleverly secreted away that, you know, if we stumble upon it, it'd be a mirror. But we're seeing the same kind of technologies.
Now, do they have writing on these aqueducts or any of the monuments along the way? Is there any writing on there?
Oh, there is. There's even a map of the aqueduct system. And that map, the aqueduct system, is something you can see in episode 14 at expeditions.tv. We took a look at it again today, trying to figure out where is the point of origin. That's why we were here. We wanted to find this, and of course, this hole that goes supposedly through a mountain.
All right, we have to take a break. We will return, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening, live from Peru, Jerry Wills. And Jerry, just a note, you know, we're accustomed to seeing video of you in the jungles, and you're in a comfortable-looking hotel room. And I think in most folks' minds, when they think of Cajamarca, they're thinking of it being very remote and that places like this would not be available.
Well, yeah, it looks like a nice room. Let me tell you something about Peru. Peru is like a movie set. Things look like they're supposed to. You're in the light, Ken. Things look like they're supposed to. For example, there might be a telephone. There is over here on the wall. This looks like it's a nice, comfortable mattress. It just looks like that. The phone doesn't work. The mattress is hard. It's just boards with a sheet thrown over it. They have light, but the light, you know those really awful, pure white little fluorescent tube bulbs you screw in? They're just so awful, they hurt your eyes.
Yeah.
That's the light that's in this room, and it's probably about a 20-watt bulb. The only thing here that works better than anything else is the internet. That's about it. This is you know, a 2-star hotel. It really isn't anything fancy.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot fancier than what I stayed in when I was when I first got to Vaqueque, East Timor. My room had a bedstead with boards, no sheets, no pillows, no phone, a hole in the wall where you would call that a window and no way to close it, and the door was a curtain.
That was the 1-star hotel we opted out of.
I was quite comfortable, though. You know, I'd light my candle at night, and that was my light. There was no electricity. But so let me ask you, is it more comfortable than being out in the jungle right now?
No.
No? Okay, then. All right. But at least you have the internet.
That's true. Well, we had the internet in the jungle as well, so you know, not that good, but well, what can I say? It's where we're in a city. Cajamarca is probably 100,000 people in this general area. Uh-huh. It lies in a valley surrounded by very steep mountains. We're at 3,000 meters. I don't know what that translates into. Feet, but it's probably around 9,000 feet or so, 9,500 feet. But you know, it's comfortable. You're right, it is. It's much more comfortable than being outside. It rains during the night, and during the day, well, a lot of clouds, some wind, some sun. You know, the real claim to fame for Cajamarca are the Inca baths. This is the place where Atahualpa was captured by the Spanish. And just down from us, about a mile and a half, is the Cathedral of San Francisco. That's where the famous room is that Atahualpa was demanded to fill with gold and then silver and then more gold and more silver by Pizarro. After he'd done this a few times, Atahualpa was told to call all of his subjects to the main plaza, which he did, and he was promptly beheaded in front of all of them. Considering that they thought Atahualpa was a god, that was quite a blow to these people, and the Spanish then took over. It hasn't been the same since.
Well, it is unfortunate that there are scenes all down through history like that, and not just in South America. It has happened all over the world.
Oh,
and
sure.
It is extremely unfortunate. And it's extremely unfortunate that there are nations today who still have that kind of an attitude, you know, and I'm not aware of them actually doing that to anybody, but they may, and you know, I don't think even our nation is wearing white gloves on this kind of stuff, and I think it's just an atrocity against the cosmos. But anyway, now the Inca, they didn't claim that they had built all of these aqueducts and great buildings, did they?
No, of course not. but if you talk to anyone down here that's a tour guide, they'll certainly tell you the Inca did all these marvelous and wondrous things. But they didn't. They were only in power about 200 years, and for about the last 50 years of their existence, maybe less than that, maybe 35 years, they were actually in quite a civil war, where they were divided into two different distinct nations. Two brothers basically fighting against each other for power. But, you know, the Inca, they weren't really responsible for any of this. They came in and they saw and they took what they needed and they improved upon some things and embellished a few things to suit their own needs or standards. And that's what remains now after the Spanish did the same thing as they could tell us. You know, for example, this church of San Francisco was actually in the palace. It was a church that was turned into a church afterwards because it was a holy site for the Inca.
So it was an Inca palace. Does that mean that the king of the Incas that got executed there, that was his home?
Yeah, it was. Actually, this was the seat of power. A lot of people think it was Cuzco, and Cuzco was another seat of power. But the Inca liked to be here because of the mineral baths. There are a tremendous number of hot springs throughout this region. And they're very healing and therapeutic. And even today, you can go down and see the famous Inca baths, which we're going to go tomorrow and cover that and shoot some footage there. We might even jump in. But very hot water, down to very mild water. And you go there and soak in it, and it rejuvenates you. And that's why the Inca wanted to be here, where the ruling class was situating itself. Some people say it was like a holiday retreat area, but it really wasn't that. It was more a place where they preferred to be rather than to be someplace else.
Now, the king of the Incas, I think you said his name was Atahualpa?
Atahualpa.
Atahualpa. Now, was he also considered the king over at Cuzco?
Yeah, he really wasn't considered as a king in European terms. He was the embodiment of God in their eyes. The Catholics look at the Pope as the one step removed from God.
Okay.
Well, the Pope would be one step removed from Atahualpa. Atahualpa was God. He was the God of the Inca. And that's why it was so devastating when he was murdered in front of them. How could they kill a god? It's a fascinating story, really. And the whole reason why Atahualpa even trusted the Spanish is extraordinary. And it goes way back in time to the Phoenicians. How the Phoenicians came here and developed a trade route from Phoenicia to this part of the world. And the people that Atahualpa thought were coming back, the white man was here. He thought it was the Phoenicians coming back to reestablish trade. His grandfather's grandfather had told him all about these people. It was handed down and handed down and handed down. And they were expecting them to come back.
Uh-huh.
The Phoenicians never did, of course. But the Spanish did, and they thought the Spanish, they were the Phoenicians. They were their friends. They were here to do some trading, so they welcomed them in. White people cared, and it was a big surprise to everyone, I suppose, when they found out they were not very nice people.
You know that I've spent a lot of time in what here we refer to as Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. And if you leave here not knowing the language and not being familiar with the people there, you will get there and you will look around and everybody looks just like people. I mean, you cannot look at them and make a distinction ethnically. But they can. They can look at each other. Well, sometimes they miss it, but they can look at each other and they can tell that guy's an Albanian or that guy's a Serb or that guy over there he's from Macedonia. You know, I mean they can do that. I don't know how they do it, but they can. Once you learn the language, you can begin to tell the difference of accent in the way that they speak the language.
Sure.
The hatred that spawned those wars in Bosnia and the fictional war in Kosovo, that hatred is a generational thing. It goes back, I think it's 1389.
Wow.
And you see, it's probably different now, but when I was there, you see a little Serb kid, a little guy, and he's got a little Serb uniform, army uniform on, and you say, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" "I want to be in the army." "What do you want to do when you grow up?" "Kill Albanians." "Why?" "Because they're Albanians." I mean, I had, not all of them, but I had some that said that to me. And you see a little Albanian kid, and he's got a little Albanian KLA uniform on, and you get the exact same response. They don't know why. It's just a generational thing. It goes back to 1389. Now, I understand, although I'm not real sure it's 1389. I understand the history of that, and it's kind of like the Serbs' version of the Alamo. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's where their czar was defeated and captured and by the Ottoman troops. Up until then, he had been kicking some serious butt, but at that battle of Kosovo Polje, he lost, and he was captured. And so this sort of the emotions about that are historical, and they have not gone away. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and we'll take a break, and when we come back from that break, I'll get your answer to it. But the question is, white guys came in there and did this, and they beheaded the Inca god. There are descendants of those people living there now. And what I wonder is there sort of this historical distrust and dislike for white people in that area as a result of the actions of the Spanish conquistadors? And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'd like to get your answer to that. All right, folks, we shall return right after this.
Get me on a jet plane, take it to the sky.
welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Wills, live from Peru this evening after having walked literally miles today up the side of the mountain. And, Jerry, you got to be dead dog tired.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I left out the part about getting to the point where it started raining. Did I tell you about that?
You mentioned it started raining, but you didn't go into any detail about it.
Well, I can tell you this. Wick dry clothing really works well when you're not still being rained on. But when you're being rained on, it just soaks. We were up around 12,000 feet. The wind was blowing. It was very cold. And the rain was just hammering down on us. We were miles and miles from where we needed to be to get to shelter. So, good thing the equipment is waterproof. But, this is where we decided we couldn't find any more of the aqueducts. So, we stopped, had a cup of coffee, did a spot for the Kevin Smith Show, of course. And then it started raining. And the rain buckets. So it was coming in waves. It wasn't just solid rain. And we managed to back eventually. And it took a little while, hour or so, of traveling rapidly, getting back to the shelter of the vehicles waiting for us. But we were pretty cold. And, you get cold like that, it just sort of wears you down a bit.
All right, let me get the answer to that question I asked. Is there this deep-seated, long historical distrust and maybe even dislike, maybe even hatred for white people because of what was done there at Cajamarca?
No, not really. We haven't run into that. The mistrust is built into every person who's here. Nobody trusts anyone. And they don't trust white folks, let's say. You can be black, I suppose, and be the same story, but they don't trust people outside of the area at all. And they figure that if you're here, you must own a bank. So they'll give you one price, and then when everything's said and done, like the taxi today, you give us a price for what it was going to cost to do what we did, for the hours that we used him on his vehicle. And when all was said and done, it was double. And, I know enough Spanish where I said, no, wait a minute. But that's how it is here. People don't trust each other. And if you took a bag, let's say my camera bag, if I set it down on the street beside me and turned away for a moment and turned back, it would just be gone. So you can't trust anyone. And no one trusts you, and they don't trust each other. So it's a very difficult environment. Where you and I are from, Kevin, and where we live in the States, there is a standard of how you function within society you live within. If you drop something, mm-hmm. someone will come up and say, hey, you dropped this. They don't pick it up and run the other way, hoping that you don't catch them. But that's not how it is here. So you have to be very careful. And to compound that, the places that we've gone to are not this place, of course. This isn't dangerous, but for example, Tarapoto, sort of dangerous. Tocachi, very dangerous. So now you're dealing with people who are historically coca leaf farmers and narco traffickers and terrorists. And these people are scary. They have machetes that are very sharp. They have all sorts of weapons. And they're not afraid to use them. And they have no sense of morality like you do. It's a very different world. And when we were in Tocachi, it was scary. It was a really scary place. You just have to be on your toes. You have to watch what you say, what you do, and be aware of your surroundings all the time, and try to surround yourself with people who appreciate that you're giving them enough money so that they will be your friend for as long as you're there.
Right, and for as long as you're giving them money.
Yeah, and yeah. When you don't, you're not their friend. And that's one of the things that happened to us in Tegachi. They started asking for more money and more money and bribes. And if you want to get out of here safely, you need to pay us for this and that, which had nothing to do with us, and we didn't owe them anything for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I just promptly told them they were a bunch of bandits, and I wasn't going to give them anything. That didn't make any friends. But I wasn't about to be coerced into doing something I didn't think was correct.
Yeah, I got arrested one time in a country where I wouldn't pay a bribe to the cop. And it wasn't was not in South America, but it's a country you've been to, and wouldn't pay a bribe to the cop, so he arrested me. And
sounds like
well, and you know, as it finally turned out, I just pressured him all. I hammered him all night long in Serbian. I just kept the pressure up. And I told him if he didn't promptly take me to the jail and book me, that he was in violation of international law, which he is. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't take me to the jail and book me because I was carrying a diplomatic passport, and he had made an illegal arrest because I would not give him the bribe to let me across the border. And so it finally he just said, okay, I'm going to let you go, and you know, you go on across, but don't stop. I said, I'll stop any place I want to. And
well, at least you had that going for you, Kevin. All we had going for us was we're not giving it to you, and we're leaving.
Yeah.
And it was pretty scary. 7.5 hours the countryside, bad roads and slow going, and every so often armed people stopping the car. It was an interesting time.
Why were armed people stopping your car?
I don't have a clue. They just want to know who's in there. They want to check everything out, and they wanted some money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well, I ran into a lot of that, even in East Timor. And, you know, they would drop a tree across the road. And then cars had to stop, and you had to pay them money to move the tree. And I came along in an unmarked car, but I had my uniform on. And it was a real shock to them when I got out of the car. They moved the tree, right. Moved the tree for free. Yeah.
That was such a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine, I was just on my way to the post office 4.5 hours away. And, you know, and I'm going to have to pay to move a tree? Oh, no. Not in this century. But anyway, people, I think they need to hear these kinds of things because they need to have an appreciation for the actual difficulties and the dangers that journalists and explorers like yourselves go through to get these amazing stories and bring them back to us. And the expense. I mean, you know, sometimes there's not a way other than to pay their bribe. This is called hostage taking. And there's just no other way except to pay it. And then, you know, maybe they'll let you go. And people need to know about this. They need to know that it's not a vacation.
Well, I think that, you know, folks don't really have a clear idea of sometimes we put ourselves in dangerous situations. And they probably are wondering, well, why would you do that? But, you know, what we found in Tegachi 13 years ago, when it was even more dangerous then than it is now, it was so worth going back and covering this information and bringing this back. We didn't have the equipment to do it with at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that it was really very valid information that might make a difference. And if nothing else, it's going to add to what's known in the world. So why would we do it? Because that's what we do. We enjoy this. And it's like you doing the shuttle. I mean, you're bringing information to people every night. And why do you do it? Well, because it's part of your life. That's what you do.
Yeah.
We put up with, you know, insect bites and terrible weather and people with guns and scary situations. And, you know, we do it because that's how... that's just part of the terrain. That's how you go and get what you're wanting to get and bring it back so that other people can take a look at it and go, wow.
We have to take a break, Jerry. All right, we'll pick up there when we come back, and we will be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Jerry Wills. Welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. You have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. Jerry Wills is speaking to us live from Peru, where he is in the midst currently of a rather extensive expedition. At the moment, he's not in the jungle. He's in a small city, about 100,000 people. He's in a hotel room, and the hotel has internet of sorts. However, it kind of comes and goes, and we have a little bit of problems with the connection here and there. But overall, we are able to hear and to see Jerry for those who are watching. I want to invite our audience to join in this conversation. And ladies and gentlemen, the way you do that is to pick up your telephone and dial the telephone number that I am about to give you. Are you ready? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. And you can talk with Jerry. You can ask questions. You can make a comment. Whatever you'd like to do, but you got to use that telephone to do it, okay? Now, for those of you who are brand new, you don't know about this, so let me tell you. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, we know that telephone number works, but we know that it can be pretty expensive to make international long-distance calls from some places. And so we have an additional option for you, and that additional option is called the Flash Message. You scoot over to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture, you'll see a link that says Flash Message. Well, you click that, and you can type in your question or comment there. If you're in the USA or you're in Canada, that won't work for you. I mean, you can do it, but I won't see it, all right? And I thought I had the ringer on the telephone shut down, but I don't, so you probably just heard we got a call in. So let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, the caller is not there. When you call, be prepared to answer and be listening to the telephone, not your radio. Because if you're listening to your radio, it's on delay. And you won't hear me answer the phone till after I have already hung up. So be sure you listen to your telephone, all right? 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jerry, good to see you looking well. At what stage of your exploration would you say you are in right now?
Well, to our way of thinking, we are in the last stages of it. But there are some things that are going on that I can't talk about. And if these things actually coalesce, then we're not even halfway finished. It's of course it's hard to say that feeling tired after being beat today by the rain and at altitude, but we're following a story that is extraordinary and huge. All I can tell you is that if you have watched National Treasure or Da Vinci Code, any of these things, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that this story is right in league with that. It's kind of a combination of National Treasure, Da Vinci Code, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's a very, very big story. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's also a very, very dangerous story to cover. And I don't know if it's going to happen. So at this point, we're thinking, we're towards the end of it, but all it takes is a click of the dial and the next thing pops in place and suddenly we're off on another adventure, and this one's going to be
Wow. Never a dull moment, eh? I asked before you went on your trip, I brought up the the presence of orbs, and I thought that where you were going, it sounded like a pretty good setup to pick up some of those things, images of them, and since you do have infrared technology there, I was just curious if you picked up on any of that while you were there.
You know, when we were in the Tecate Valley, I thought to try and do that. The first night we were there, it was just a deluge. It rained so hard, our waterproof tent started leaking. And this is a really good tent made by Pahati. It was raining pretty hard. So the next day, the next few nights, I tried to get some pictures of orbs, but I really didn't get anything at all. And we tried a few other times. We tried to, when we took about 5 days in the Amazon jungle, just emotionally calm ourselves down from the caution. And there were a few times I tried to take pictures there as well, you know, flash, no flash, infrared, and all that, and still nothing. I didn't get anything yesterday. Doesn't mean we won't. We haven't stopped trying. We just haven't gotten anything.
Well, Jerry, this is all very exciting. It's just so exciting. But listen, above all, and I know I don't need to say this, but you be safe, okay?
Oh yeah. Well, you know what I was talking to Kevin about the scariness in the Tecate Valley. Some of the guys, you know, a couple of them, when they were getting a bit evil, they glanced over at Kathy with like an idea that, well, you better do this because, you know. And you get your wife with you. And I just laughed. And I said, really? I said, you for sure don't want to mess with me, but you want to mess with her? Oh my God, are you kidding me? Go ahead. She has her own machete. And they're like, really? Honestly, it was pretty... I thought it was funny, the expression on their face, and the fact that I would say this, go ahead, you're going to regret this. So.
Now that's who I was looking for. She just came in through the door.
Fine. Go over here, Kat.
Well, I look horrible.
You don't look horrible.
I do too.
Here, this is Steve. Can I say hi?
Hey, Kathy. Listen, Lori and I both send our best to you, and yeah, there you are. Hey, Kathy.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, Lori and I love you very much, and we want you to be safe, and we wish you the best for the rest of your trip, and above all, come home safe.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
We'll do our best to meet that.
I try to keep Jerry out of trouble.
You don't look disheveled at all. You both look wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Stephen, thank you for the call. And the telephones are open, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call for you to talk with Jerry Wills and ask a question or make a comment. And, you know, you don't get a chance too often, folks, to talk to real-life explorers. And even less of a chance when you get a chance to talk to them while they are on expedition. And this is your chance. 623-444-5889. Jerry shared with me some of the details about this additional adventure that may develop. I cannot talk to you about it. I cannot tell you about it. I can tell you that Jerry is underselling how big this is. If this thing really pops, this is going to be one for the history books. And we don't know if it will. Jerry has no idea yet if it's going to materialize. If it does, this is going to be absolutely freaking huge. And you have the opportunity to talk to people who have their hands on the story right now. 623-444-5889. Again,
623-444-5889.
Jerry, there you are. You got this huge story that we can't give any details about at the moment. And I think when people find out eventually what it is, they will understand why you could not give any details out. But this thing popped up while you're on this expedition. And you got Kathy with you. And how does Kathy respond to this? I mean, is it like, hey, you know what? No. Or is it, hey, all right, let's go? How does that work?
Well, Kat, what do you have to say about that? Speak up.
Well, it sounds very dicey, dangerous, and but, you know, we've done that before. But everything is different, and every situation is different. So we're just waiting to see if it's going to happen. And
so, yeah. if and if it does, if it does happen, are you going along on that?
Oh hell yes!
Oh hell yes! Okay, well there we go. Now we know the response.
Okay, watch your mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't let him go have all the fun by himself.
All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Joni from St. Louis.
Hello, Joni.
Hi.
Hi.
Glad to hear from you down there in Peru. My only question I have is... when do you expect to return to the States?
Yeah, I know. That's a good question, isn't it? Well, if all goes as planned, the way we outlined this when we first, you know, left, we're supposed to be back the end of May. If things change, I don't know. That's a little unsettling for us, but if things change, I don't know. It probably would be delayed by at least another month, perhaps, or at least until, well, I don't know. Because this story, if this is real, I mean, what we have been exposed to and what we found out, if it's real, God only knows where it's going to lead us, because this is a huge story. It's much larger than anything that I ever figured that we would... we always think, oh, it'd be great if you ran into something like this, but it's so big. This is huge, and I don't know if we're going to be back in a month or 2 months or when.
There's usually one thing leads to another, and then another thing pops up, and you have to go check that out. But it looks like maybe another month,
yeah,
if you do it.
Yeah. You know, the real danger for going in these places, you know, if you do this other journey, this is so remote. It's just mind-boggling. I don't even know how to begin to tell you about it, Kevin. It's really mind-boggling. And then, you know, if we stay longer, it's because of that. Thing is, when we go and do this, we're going to have to turn off our transponder. In other words, the spot signal that we send out, we'll probably turn that off. This has to be done in complete secrecy. And the only connection we're going to have to the rest of the world, the places we're going, is going to be the spot or our satellite phone. That's it. And, well, yeah, there's a lot of unknowns with that. So, a lot of unknowns. And so it's one of those wait and see situations. But I appreciate your concern and your interest as well. And we will put out information as we can. It's just we won't be able to divulge a lot of information until probably well after the event.
I would say you probably won't be able to divulge the details till after you're home.
Probably so. This is far too dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, just take care, you guys, and we won't be sending out the highway patrol after you.
I appreciate that, sweetie. And, you know, stay in touch. It's always good to hear from you, Johnny.
Yeah. Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty then. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you have a question or a comment for Jerry Wills or Kathy Wills, that's the number to call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, Kathy, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Brent.
I really just wanted to touch base and say hi, but I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Would it be fair to say that your motel room is made to look like, is one of those things that could be called made to look like food, as in cold cuts?
Oh, yeah, it's made to look like a hotel room.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
The bed is hard.
Well, that's because it's on a cement platform.
Well, I thought it was boards.
No.
Oh, man, you are uptown cement platform. I had plywood.
And sometimes they make the mattresses out of straw and just cover the top part with a little bit of cotton.
Let me tell you something. This bed is so short that my feet hang off this far from above my ankles down to the bottom of my feet. And it's so narrow. And this is, they call it a matrimonial. This is the big bed. It's so narrow that if we both lay flat side by side, our arms fall off the sides.
I love it.
Not good.
We're in the middle of the night, and it's, you know how you, on a hard surface, your part of your body just gone numb? So I roll over.
Yeah, but I can sleep on boulder. I like hard surfaces.
He's pushed me out of bed several times because he sleeps in a V.
What?
So his feet don't fall off the edge.
My feet get cold.
Well, see, it's not that the bed is so short. It's that your legs are so long.
They made this bed for children.
It's smaller than a double-sized bed in the States.
Yeah. Oh, my. Brent, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
all
Brent.
Right, you guys take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, folks, what about you? 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. That would put you in touch with a couple of real honest-to-God explorers on a real honest-to-God expedition and taking a little bit of rest from a very hard day of hiking miles in the rain and doing some of their explorations today. If you have a question or a comment for Jerry or Kathy, that's the number to call. 623-444-5889 to the telephones. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Michael from Sedona, Arizona.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Mike.
Glad to hear you guys are safe. I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay, Michael, let me tell you this, just so you'll be aware. Because of the technology, there is a little bit of a delay. So if you ask a question, wait for just a few seconds, and then they'll respond. There's a little delay in it.
Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
So So my first question is, of all the pieces of gear that you've accumulated for this trek, what has come in most handy?
Well, I think it'd be really item specific to location. In Tocachi, the satellite phone,
the water purifier,
the tent, and camping equipment, of course. Beyond Tocachi, the video camera always. I mean, we use the GoPro Hero 3. We haven't used the GoPro Hero 2 at all. Hero 3 is a far superior camera.
The Joby.
And we've used we have these things from Joby, J-O-B-Y. Give them a bit of a plug because they make these tripod, these three-legged things that the legs, they bend and curve and clamp on to any surface. And they also have magnetic balls on the end of some of them. We've used those quite a bit. And the lights that Joby makes, they have the same feature, and the lights are fantastic. So we've used those quite a bit. Aside from that, the solar panel and the solar charging system was just dynamite. So I think we've used all the equipment. The most handy thing, though, I suppose, is Spot. That's the one thing we've used the most, aside from our camera equipment.
Well, you're very fortunate to have all that top-line gear with you.
Yeah, we are. We know. And we've had a lot of support from our fans, the Expedition TV fans, and from some of the sponsors that have jumped in to contribute a few things, like Joby. They sent us these things. We didn't buy them. They gave them to us so we would use them and tell people about them, which we just did. But yeah, we've got some really top-notch equipment. This is some of the best stuff that you can buy. Like right now, I'm talking to you on our iPhone, but it's hooked into a pretty elaborate system of lenses and mounts that allow us to actually produce a very, very good picture. And we've got really good technology with us. Of course, we're carrying, besides Kathy's pack and my pack, we have three cargo bags of equipment. And a small Pelican case full of electronics accessories. And then I have my shoulder pack with cameras and ancillary items we are going into. Kathy has her pack that has her level of needs for cameras and water purification and so forth. So we are traveling pretty heavy. I didn't want to travel heavy like this, but
All right, look, we have to step away for a break. Michael, if you'll hang on, and Jerry, if you'll hang on, we'll get both of you back together here in just a moment. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this break. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guests this evening, Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills, live from Peru. Michael, are you still on the line with us?
I am.
All right. Did you have another question or comment for Jerry?
Well, I did. First of all, Jer, Kat, Carla sends her love and hugs to you. But I have a question that I'm sure, you know, with all the teasing that you've done on this next potential expedition and all, I'm sure that there's one question that's burning in everyone's mind who's listening to the show but not able to watch. How do I become a member of the Kevin Smith Show?
Okay, now I'm going to answer. You can't. Not right now. And, Michael, you may have a solution, because I know you are a computer whiz. Our software and the version of PHP, the software that runs the members area and the version of PHP that is now on our host, are not entirely compatible. And so what was happening is people would sign up for a membership. It would take them over to PayPal. They would pay for it. And then it would send them a notice that they are now registered, but it would not register them in the database. And I thought I had that fixed. And I tried it. And it when I redeployed it, it wasn't fixed. So you think about that, and perhaps the cosmos will give you an answer. And if you have an answer, then maybe you can help me fix that.
All right, I'll certainly give it some thought, Kevin.
Okay, and I'm serious about that because I tried everything I knew as a workaround.
Sounds like a compatibility issue.
Yeah, and the problem there is that the software is older software, and new software is expensive.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I know that tactic. That's what we call the Microsoft tactic.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and by the way, don't ever buy software from this particular company, folks. Because their support is zip. Okay. But that's
the
problem.
Thanks for the great show, Kevin.
Thank you, and thanks for the call.
Yep.
Thanks.
623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and if you have a question or if you have a comment for Jerry or for Kathy or for both of them, that's how you get in touch with them. They are in Peru as we speak, and they are either coming home at the end of this month or they will be back at some time in the future. We don't know. It depends on whether this other adventure opens up. And if it does, I can tell you, folks, from what Jerry shared with me, and he couldn't say it all on the telephone, but he shared some of it with me, I don't know, a day or two ago. And I can tell you, he is not exaggerating. I think it's something that's going to be bigger than anything you saw in the Da Vinci Code, anything you saw in National Treasure. It's huge. And but let me ask you something, folks. Where else are you going to get this kind of stuff? I mean, it only happens here. And, we need your help to be able to keep doing this stuff. It ain't free and is not cheap. So click that donate button and help us stay on the air. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Gary from Nebraska.
Hello, Gary.
I just wanted to say to Jerry and Kathy that I think you two have more nerve than a room full of burglars. And I admire you for your skills. My gosh, you got a lot going for you, and I think we are lucky to be able to hear your discussion of what's going on down there, and I can't hardly wait to hear the stories when you get back. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, Gary. Thank you for the call. I agree.
Know, Kevin?
Uh-huh.
That's I'm a Nebraskan also.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
I didn't know that.
So I really appreciate my Nebraskan friends
out there. You know, and Gary from Nebraska, he's been a supporter of this show for a long time. He's a good friend of this show. So Nebraska's good to us, too. So, are all Nebraskans as gutsy as you are?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think we're pretty stock.
Yeah? Yeah. What do the people down there think about when they see 7 foot Jerry and you both with this long blonde hair walk into a village? What kind of a response are you getting?
Here in Peru?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people stare, and there's a lot of giggles, and people around here aren't used to seeing. Someone as tall as Jerry, and today I was called a gringa several times.
Si. Usted un gringa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's some whistles. I don't know why, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a lot of staring, but they do remember us.
You know, my home is in a village way out in Thailand. And when I first visited that village, I went there because when I asked my wife to marry me, she said, well, you have to ask my father. Very traditional, you know. And I said, well, okay, when can we do this? So when she took me there to meet him and to ask him, I think I was the first white person that had been into this village in a very long time, if ever, because a lot of giggles and people coming up, and you know, they would they'd pick up my hand and pat my arm and giggle and say something, you know. And I asked my wife, well, she was not my wife yet, but she is now. I asked her, I said, what are they doing? What are they giggling about, and what are they talking about? And she said, you're white, and that's what they're talking about. They haven't seen somebody white before.
Wow.
Just on TV they had, you know, but I was the first one they had met. And so, man, talk about a minority. I was a minority. But it wasn't my first time, but to be a minority, but it is different. And you know, you just have to keep your cool and understand they don't mean any harm by it at all.
Right.
They're just amazed.
That's true.
Of course, I think if somebody like me walked into a village, I mean, you know, I'd be amazed. I'd be amazed that anybody let that out in public, you know.
You know, Kevin, when we first met you, you walked into our home.
Yeah.
And we were amazed.
Were you?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Kevin Smith?
In our home?
In our home? Get out of here. Really?
Yeah, that's right after I had published the book Gods in the Garden.
That's right.
And you were having a get-together at your place and showing a video and, yeah. That was and that's the first time I met Michael and Carla and Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And interesting how even though we're all spread out now, we're all still buddies.
Yeah, still connected.
Still connected. Yeah. As long as you can find the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Michael and I go to places where they don't have internet anymore, but I used to. But, you know, you're still out there on the fringes. You're out there where there are places where you don't have a connection.
Yeah, it's true. Happy to have a satellite phone. At least we have that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now with the satellite phone, can you do video with it?
No, unfortunately not. I wish we could. that system is so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And per minute is crazy expensive. And we're talking, you know, $5,000, $10,000, just way beyond our means.
For a minute?
No. For the system.
Oh, yeah.
The system is about $10,000, and the per minute rate, I don't remember, but it was really high.
That's if
to do a broadcast.
Yeah, to do a video.
I wanted to have a system to actually broadcast from these places. Mm-hmm. They make a system for that, but unless you're CNN, you're not going to have it.
But yeah, for a satellite phone, it's like a buck a minute for us to call out.
Right.
But for someone to call our phone, it's like $5 or $6 a minute
for them to call us.
So if I called you, you have to pay $5 or $6.
No, you do.
I do. Okay, that's more fair. Yeah. Yeah, that's more fair.
We haven't gotten one call yet.
No, we don't have the phone on very often.
Oh, that's true.
But it's good to have that in case everything else goes down. You still have a way to contact the outside world.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I
just want to interject something here for the listeners. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, this big story thing. I don't know if it's a lot of hot air. I don't know if it's real. I don't know at all. It's like being told something and you have enough evidence to where you know that all these pieces around it fit and point that direction. So if they do, then what's at the center here probably is exactly what you would expect, but it might not be that at all. So I don't want to build this up like a big deal and then it turns out to be nothing.
But it is a huge story, even if this thing turns out not to be true. It's a gigantic story.
It's a huge story.
Yeah.
What we know so far, and we have documented proof, holy mackerel. I mean, it just gave me shivers, and it didn't stop one day. It kept coming in day after day after day, more and more and more information. The details that we have are staggering. But, you know, this particular thing that, you know, we can't talk about, it sounds so silly to say, but it might not be anything at all. But the only way you're going to know is if you go and find out. And that's what we're debating, whether we should do that or not, because it is really dangerous to go and do this.
Well, let me remind you and the audience that the city of Troy and the Trojan War was all fiction. It was just a huge story, just fiction, all allegory made up to teach us some lessons until an explorer took it seriously, followed exactly what the book said, and dug into the ground. And today you can walk the streets of Troy. It was not fiction, and the Trojan War was not fiction. It was real. And the same exact thing is true of an empire called the Hittites.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When I was growing up, everybody said, fiction. That, and they're mentioned in the Bible. Fiction. Nobody ever met a Hittite. And you can go there now. And you can walk on the 25-acre foundation of the palace. Now, that's a house.
That's huge.
That's a house.
The point I wanted to make, Kevin,
if
this is true or it's not true.
Can you make that point right after the break?
Of course.
It's taking over. All right, folks, we'll return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left in this amazing broadcast tonight. My guests are Jerry and Kathy Wills. And if you wish to talk with them, you need to call right now. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And you started to say something, Jerry, as we went to break. I had to cut you off. So let me grant you the mic.
Sure. Well, what I wanted to say, Kevin, is that if this happens or if it doesn't happen, you know, any details that we get about this that we can talk about, It's only going to be heard here on the Kevin Smith Show. It's not going to be anywhere else. Of course, our website, but you're going to have the world exclusive on whatever this is, if it is anything at all. So,
you know what? I want the world exclusive. If it is or if it isn't, I want the story. I want the people to hear the story. At the end of your adventure and you're back home and safe, I want people to hear what it is you're chasing down.
Sure.
And if it turns out not to be anything, still, wow, what a story.
Yeah, and if we decide not to go and do it right now, we'll still give you those details.
Fantastic. Well, folks, this is going to be the place to be, but then it is already, isn't it? But this is going to be the place on the planet to be to hear that story. So, Jerry, in the short run here, let's say that this new adventure does not open up and you just follow out this expedition. What's next for you? I think you said you have to check at the university to track down this story about the rectangular hole carved through 2 kilometers of mountain. What an amazing engineering feat that would have been. So you do that, and then what?
Well, once we finish that, we're going to go back to Lima. We already have tickets to go back on May 22nd. We'll get back to Lima. We'll regroup. We'll have about a week left at that point. And during that time, we're probably going to go to a place called Corral.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe Chanquillo, we're not sure. It would be nice to cover both of those. Corral is one of the oldest cities ever found on Earth. And Chanquillo is one of the most unusual places. It has a gigantic solar observatory built in far ancient times. So those two things are on our plate to do that. The third thing, if we end up doing this extra thing that I can't talk much about, we're going to go to the southern tip of Lake Titicaca. We're going to try to anyway, because there's a set of footprints there in sandstone that they don't let anybody get to. So we're going to try to go there. And cover this story. The footprints are 1.2 billion years old.
1.2 billion. Now, you know, Jerry, there were no humans around 1.2 billion years ago.
Well, unless they were time travelers, or from the stars, or a parallel universe, or maybe they were here 1.2 billion years ago.
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, I think they were. We find Uparts around the world, and there's some little spheres that we've talked about here on the show that were found in South Africa in a mining area. I mean, it was a mining operation, and they were found in strata from 1.8 billion years ago, and these are spheres with machined grooves around their equators.
Yeah.
1.8 billion. So even though we don't know anything about who was here, the fact is somebody built them and somebody dropped them. They were here.
Well, Kevin, we don't even know what the real history of the Earth is.
No.
Even as far back as 100,000 years ago.
True.
We're led to believe that there were Neanderthals learning how to chew meat off of cooked bone. And that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are the things we're looking for. Things that are old like this that point to an age when technology had reached a high point. And
well, Corral is a good place to do that, because Corral, as you said, is one of the oldest cities ever found on Earth, and there are pyramids there.
Yeah, there are several. And part of the city looks like something from a Star Trek movie. It's just an amazing place.
Well, my sentiments are echoes of what everybody else has said tonight, and that is, you know, we just want you guys to be safe. There's not anything, not one damn thing safe about what you do. But in as much as it is possible, we want you to be safe and get back here to us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
You know, we just sort of take it in stride. Later, we start shaking when we start thinking about what we just did. But, you know, I mean, it's like today, you're walking miles and hours at 12,000 feet in downpours.
Yeah.
We just get back here, have a cup of coffee, and sit back and go, dang, that was just really challenging, wasn't it? What are we doing tomorrow?
Sunburn.
Yeah.
In between the clouds.
Yeah. Well, and at altitude, the sunburn is easier to get and faster and deeper.
Yeah, well, I am sure it doesn't show up on camera, especially with this terrible light. But, yeah, I got some sun today.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, why don't you tell everybody various web addresses where they can check you out?
Sure. Well, the new website is Expeditions TV. It's expeditions.tv. So it's expeditions.tv. If you go to expeditionstv.com, it'll take you there, so don't worry. It's in your bookmark file. The other place is to go to our Facebook page, where we're posting all kinds of information, because I can do that from my phone pretty easily. It's not as easy to post it to our web page. But we do have a friend, John Tudor, in Spain, who is managing our new website. He actually designed it. Coastal Computing is his company name. But the Facebook page is facebook.com/XPED TV. XPED TV. And I'm posting updates there all the time. And so is John, as we send him information. Sometimes we can get through on Skype and send him things easier than we can get online. Skype is much easier to use than, you know, going on to a web page to try and do something. So, our hats off to John Tudor, and we really respect and appreciate all the help he and his wife Sally have given.
All right, we got about 20 seconds here, Jerry.
Thanks, everyone, for following our adventures, and thank you for being there and caring about us. We're doing our best to bring this information back to you. And thank you for listening to the Kevin Smith Show. It's shows like this that make a difference in everyone's lives. And we really respect everything that Kevin does to bring you the information as well. Please support him. So that's about it.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us.
Oh, well, thanks, everyone, for supporting us as well.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry and Kathy, stay on the line with me, and we'll say goodbye for now for as far as the broadcast goes, but thanks for being with us, and stay on line with me.
You got
thanks,
it.
Kevin.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for this evening. Like I said, where else are you going to get stuff like this? I mean, real, live, real dangerous expeditions, and we're right in the middle of it, getting updates live from the expedition. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.